Our church is rich with tradition and practices that are meant to draw us closer to God. But as parents, if we don't fully understand those practices, it's going to make it all the more difficult to explain it and pass it on to our kids. And Lent is a time when it's full of those practices. And of course, children are full of questions. Why do we get ashes? Is it okay if I rub them off? Why do I have to give something up? Well, why are we going to Stations of the Cross again? Well, I've heard this before, and my go-to response of, because I said so, it's not going to work to grow their faith. Well, joining me today is our good friend Mary Harrell. If anyone knows how to have a Holy Lent with your kids, it's her. Mary is joining me today to talk more about it. Good morning, Mary.
If anyone knows how to suffer poorly, it's Mary Harrell. I know that much.
Thanks for having me on, Brenda. I tell you what, you know, I think I've heard that from my parents so often. I was growing up because I said so. But we really need to do more, especially when it comes to our faith, because I said so, not the right answer when it comes to our Lenten practices. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about Lent and how it's going in the Harrell household.
It's sure going. It's off to a strong start, Brenda. We had, as a family this year, we discussed, you know, before Lent, what are we going to do? What would be a real sacrifice for us? Because we've heard many times, at least from our pastor this year, you got to give till it hurts, because the whole reason is to keep Jesus company in his suffering. The whole reason is to say, Jesus, I'm going to suffer with you. I'm going to make myself uncomfortable. I'm going to make myself kind of hungry. I'm going to make myself want something I can't have. And I think for children who want lots of things all the time, it's really kind of easy for them to say, I really want something. I'm going to give it up. And if you give them the who, then I think at least they can do the how. If you give them who you're doing this for, I think they're pretty good at finding ways to cope with it and to say boldly, I'm giving that up for Lent. I'm doing it for Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. If they know why, then of course it makes it even more important about how they choose those things too. Well, Mary, I know that Ash Wednesday was just not that long ago, just less than a week ago. Did everyone in your household get their ashes, and do they kind of compare each other's once they get to the car?
They did. And it's funny you mentioned the question of, can I rub them off? Because I got that from my five-year-old from the back of the car on Ash Wednesday. Mom, what do I do if they come off? You don't do anything. You just go about your day. But yes, they were very sweet going to Mass that morning. And, you know, not everyone knows. It's not a holy day of obligation. You do not have to go to Mass and receive your ashes. But it is always encouraging to see there's always a pretty good big crowd of Catholics there in the morning or the evening Mass. And I always find that really encouraging to see.
Oh, for us too here at St. Joseph's in Vancouver, boy, it was standing room only. And it was one of those things that, you know, just really made you happy to see so many people, people we haven't seen in a while. Mary Harrell is joining us today because, well, Mary's going to tell us a little bit about how Lent goes in the Harrell household. So, Mary, we add the practice of abstinence and fasting on Ash Wednesday. It's going to come up again on Good Friday. But every Friday of Lent, we are also to abstain from meat. It's a practice that you keep going all year long. So tell us kind of what your go-to meal is when it comes to another No Meat Friday.
Yes, we are committed this year to doing something very bold as well, Brenda, as in addition to Fridays. We committed to going and having meatless dinners Monday through Friday this year. And so I have deemed myself the queen of beans in my house. We have so many strategies around different kinds of beans. There's always soups that have beans. There's our tacos made out of extra firm tofu. I'm a big fan of those. There are shrimp dishes and fish dishes, egg dishes. We're a big fan of making kind of like Spanish style egg and bean and potato tacos. We've done that a lot. There are your clam chowders, your seafood chowders. And then, you know, if mom's really just had a day, there's just plain old grilled cheese. So there's so many meal plans I found that are helpful for helping you strategize. A good one for me that's been helpful is pasta that's made out of chickpeas. So you can do your spaghettis, you can do your lasagnas, as long as you leave the meat out. Yeah, and they're full of protein. And you can feel like you're giving them to your kids with a lot of vegetables and tomato sauce and all that, and a lot of, you know, mushrooms, zucchini, spinach. They're getting a lot of veggies during Lent, Brenda. And I think we actually eat more in a more healthy manner during Lent than we do outside of it on our dinners, because we are trying to get rid of a lot of the meat, save that for the weekends and for our solemnities.
Oh, that is amazing. Mary, I can appreciate, well, on one hand, I think, wow, that is a lot, no meat. But on the other hand, I think, well, with a little bit of planning, boy, you're right. You can have really healthy meals. Maybe sometimes not really feel like you're giving up a whole lot.
It's so true. Like, you can't really say it's a penance to have a cheesy, eggy, beanie, salsa, guacamole loaded burrito, right? Like, that's not exactly penance, but still, it's good. It's good for me. Yes. I do not default to being a meal planner. I really, it's a discipline for myself that, gosh, I hate getting myself in gear to do that. But once you get out of first gear, once you get into second gear, once you're in third gear, you're just cruising. Once you're repeating these meatless menus, it really goes into autopilot and allows you to remember why you're doing it. And that is freeing. And I think it's a good help to my prayer life that if I plan it, I can execute it. I can remember why we're doing the sacrifice. I can help my kids remember why we're doing the sacrifice. And it just makes for a better Lenten experience for all of us, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the practicality of planning meals aside, our Lenten season is, again, this 40-day journey through Lent, through our time in the desert to be with Christ and really focus our prayer life. One of the things that all parishes are doing, and even here at Mater Dei Radio on Friday evenings, we are airing the Stations of the Cross. I remember just this being such a wonderful prayerful time, even when I was little, to try to understand it. But for some, to once you understand and know the just the extreme pain and torture that Christ went through, yeah, for some parents, that could be a really hard topic to introduce to children and also to practice. So how is it that you approach Stations of the Cross with your children?
It's funny you mentioned that, Brenda, because Tan Books has a fantastic book that really addresses this very question. It's called Stations of the Cross for Children by Regina Doman. I think you might have mentioned it on your morning blend sometime earlier this week or last week, but it takes a bird's eye view of Good Friday. And so it doesn't refrain from showing Jesus crucified on the cross on the 12th station or his death at the 12th station, but it zooms out. And so you see the crucifixion and his journey on the cross. You see the people observing it. You see the centurions, you see children playing on a hill nearby. You see the lightning in the sky at his death. You see people scared as the ground shakes. And so the view of it is to say, how do people around Christ see the crucifixion, not just the up close, the bloody nails, the torn flesh, the blood. For children, if they can see it in relation to others, I think it helps them. It helps it make sense for them, because as children, they are egocentric. They want to know, well, how does this affect me? What does this mean in my world? And so when they can see in relation to others, I think it helps them connect to his mother being sad, Pontius Pilate being, ashamed afterwards, or unrepentant. They can see different things around Jesus on Calvary. And it's a beautiful book. It's only $5 this month. Oh. They've marked it down for Lent. So it's kind of a no-brainer. If you're able to get on Tan Books and see that, it's a great resource.
Oh, fabulous. And I will definitely put a link to where you can find that book on the podcast of this interview. Oh, Mary, I appreciate your time so much. You have just great ideas for bringing up kids in the faith. And I just sure appreciate you sharing them with all of us. We just wish for you all the best in a very prayerful and holy Lent this year.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. And send down a pack of Beano. We're going to need it down here.
Absolutely. Oh, that is fantastic. And again, that is Mary Harrell. She is the domestic apologist. I'll also put a link to where you can find some more of Mary's resources. You'll find both of those links on the podcast of this interview on the Hail Mary Media app or our webpage, materdeiradio.com.